Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
You're on, Melody.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adusk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, July 8th, 2015. A very active day, particularly on the East Coast. You have the power outages in D.C. You have New York Stock Exchange closed down. Airlines were shut down for an hour. People are having computer problems. And today we have Greg Hunter joining us to discuss all these topics of what is going on right after the market report today. Wendy Wilson, she will be here on the Thursday's program. That is tomorrow for the first segment of the program. So make sure you tune in to listen to Wendy Wilson. James Corbett will be returning to our Thursday program in 2 weeks. After a short holiday. So a busy day today, so let's get started right away. I will say good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
And all these things are going up. China was down another, 6% in their markets today. And, of course, the problems again with Greece. And, hey, we did manage $3 out of gold. $3 out of gold at $11.59. Silver up 6 at $15.21. At least it got out of that $14 level. Platinum was down 7 at $1,036. Palladium was up 6 at $657. USDX today was down 0.55 at $96.22. Crude oil today down 50 at $51.83. And the paper markets today, it tried to come back, but without success. Let me bring up those numbers here on my screen. Okay, and it was changed again, and the Dow was down almost a 1.5% today, down 261 points at 17,515. The NASDAQ was down 1.75% at 4,909. And the S&P was down almost 1.75% at 2,046. The euro did gain a little strength today. 1.11 up 0.67 of 10-year yield, the percent, 2.21%. So not a lot of change in that bond yield, and that's a little surprising considering all that's going on. You'd think you'd have seen some sort of movement throughout the day, but not a lot. The world markets, I don't know what they did with these numbers. I looked earlier and they changed them. I saw, oh, they're showing them all the futures on them, and they're showing them all up, but overnight they were all down big. I saw the Hong Kong was down, I don't know, 400 or 500 points. The Hang Seng was down. The Chinese was down 6.27%, and so we have a lot of activity going on in and around the world. So,
it's a surprising amount of activity, and it is happening in a coincidental manner. There's been a lot of interesting things happening at the same time, and you can sit back and say, well, it's all coincidence, and maybe that's all it is. But it is odd. And even if it is coincidence, you can wonder to what extent this lays the foundation for something like a perfect storm. We can have a little problem here, and a little problem here, and a little problem there, and a little problem the other place. And if you get all of these little problems at the same time, do they add up to something that's really significant, going to be difficult to deal with? Or are these just coincidences that are happening today and tomorrow it'll be all over? What do you think?
I really don't think it's going to be all over, and I certainly don't believe we've heard the truth about what all is going on. And this time, I don't believe in coincidences. So, I mean, what the government is going to say that there was no coincidence, that this was all coincidental and no problems and everything's back on track. However, I think there's a very big connection. Now, I'm not sure which was the very first domino that created these situations, but I certainly don't think that it's all just a simple, here we are today and tomorrow is going to be fine. I believe this is a huge crack that we've seen, and yeah, I do believe.
It'll be interesting to see if they can repair, if they can get hold of this and stop it. For example, Dow Jones is down 240 points today,
60
whatever.
60 points?
No, 260. What happens if Dow Jones pops back up 300 points tomorrow? We can sit back and say, well, whatever it was just a blip, just a little bump in the road, no big deal. What if the Dow falls another 250 points tomorrow? What does that mean, anything? Does that signal something important, or is it just a number?
Are you asking me?
No. I'm asking Frank.
Frank. Well, I think we'll have to see. I mean, they do have a lot of power in which they can change things and make things come back. But once you get on this trend, and people should be paying attention. People shouldn't be having their. Everybody knows that it's not real. We all know that there are no fundamentals underneath these markets. That it was all make believe by the Federal Reserve and the money being pumped into these systems all around the world. So it is something that people should pay attention to, and they should be pulling their funds out, and they should be protecting it. What's the worst thing that can happen to them? They have gold and silver. That's not a bad, situation to be in when everybody else is losing their funds and all they have is paper money. And so it'll be interesting to see if Greg has any, see what his insight is into what happened today in the stock market and if there was a cyber attack. We already had the White House come out and say, oh, there was nothing. We talked to Homeland Security and so forth, and we're checking into it, but it was not a cyber attack or anything like that. So you seem to think that, and you told me prior to the program you thought it might be.
I said that what's interesting about this, and we can get Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Let's bring Greg on right now.
Is he
and
here?
And we'll see what he... Yeah, he's according to Frank, Greg is here. Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Just fine.
Hi, Greg.
What's going on today? Are we simply seeing a series of coincidences, or are we...
Let's just back up and take a wide shot here. Let's back up. We're in the weeds here, and let's just first of all let's back up and let's get a wide shot, okay? And here's the wide shot. So the FBI says, we're going to look into this. And I'm thinking to myself, that's rich. You're the guys that haven't jailed a single banker, and I'm going to name you the things that have been reported and settled in the mainstream press. Robo-signing, which is fraud and perjury on the court, housing market. Rigging of the LIBOR rate globally with multiple huge banks fined, admitted to it. Rigging of the gold market. Rigging of the currency Forex market, where they just criminally admitted some of the big banks, including J.P. Morgan, admitted to crime. Laundering money for drug cartels in the billions of dollars. Laundering money banks. Laundering money for countries, Iran, on the state sponsor of terror lists. So the derivative market, which is a complete opaque private market, which Brooksley Bourne in 1999, who was basically dismissed for trying to put this on an exchange in 1999, which is $100 trillion. A quadrillion. It's $1,000 trillion is what the BIS admits, Bank of International Settlements, Bank, Central Bank of Central Bankers, admits to. So let's get to the wide shot. So, fraud's okay. What about the fraud that got Greece into the Eurozone? What about the UK Guardian story that talked about how, the $240 billion, less than 10%, actually went to Greece. It went to the Eurozone banks. That's why Tsipras is calling this criminal. He's calling them criminals. So the fraud's okay as long as it's our big bankers, and not a single one has been prosecuted. And where that J.P. Morgan admitted to helping Bernie Madoff in his $60 billion fraud. They paid about $2.5 billion in fraud and in fines and restitution. J.P. Morgan admitted. I bet you Bernie Madoff would have loved to have paid a fine and said, "Woo! I don't have to go to jail for the rest of my life." So let's back up to the system is fraudulent. We are living in a fraudulent world. Don't even talk about this the system's not rigged. The system's a real good system, and the bad guys are running the system. And other bad guys are crashing the system. So the idea that the
Do we have any good guys?
No, yeah, people that buy gold and silver, they're going to be treated like criminals and hoarders and whatever. But we have a criminal system. I mean, they're worried about Christian militias, and big bankers are stealing from the world by the trillions of dollars. They admit to it. This isn't what I think. You can Google a story about every single one where people have admitted, whether it's RBC overseas, or whether it's Deutsche Bank with their $73 trillion in derivatives, or whether it's, Goldman Sachs, who widely reported helped cheat to get Greece into the Eurozone, whether it's Forex rigging, whether it's LIBOR rigging, whether it's robo-signing, which is fraud and perjury and a forgery and fraud on the court, whether it's a future. I mean, at the CME, which is now CME Group, which used to be Chicago Mercantile Exchange, they have volume. They admit it in their 10-K. I read this myself, that they give volume discounts to central banks. Let that sink in. They're giving discounts on volume trading. So they're giving people who can print money at will discounts on trading. Why would a central bank need to be in the CME group? The CME group is Forex, which is COMEX, which is the commodities. Why would they need to be trading and getting volume discounts? There's not a legitimate market out there, and that includes this Ponzi scheme of a stock market. So any thought that this is somehow some legitimate market that isn't propped up by the plunge protection team, and George Stephanopoulos bubbled that out of his mouth like in 2000 or 2001. Who was a former Clinton guy, the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, which includes the Treasury and the SEC and, I don't know, somebody in the Fed. okay? Don't think for 1 minute this is some sort of legitimate, well-run, well-policed market. It is not. Thank you for letting me go on that little tirade.
No, well, I think you can see evidence of this when, to some extent, insofar as they say that the Federal Reserve is data-driven. What that means
they're
just reacting. They don't have a plan. They are just reacting. What is going on today? We react to it. They don't really have a plan. It's evidence that there's something missing here.
Remember what I said about we've been told debt is money. And debt is an asset. We're going to find out neither is true. Guess what they're threatening? This is on the front page. Of course, forget about – nobody's even brought up with this stupid crash on Wall Street that are very few people – China is off 30%. Now, it was up in the last year, 150%. But they're off 30% in 3 weeks. They were off 6% last night. You think that might cause just a few jitters and a few sell orders? And then we have on the front page of the USA Today money section, which is a big story that got completely covered over today. And listen, I don't know if it's I think it's awful weird that United and Wall Street Journal and Wall Street, New York Stock Exchange, were all, you know, hectic. I don't know what that is, but that seems bizarre to me. But listen, forget the glitches. This is an inherently fraudulent, complicated system. And Nassim Taleb, the guy that came up with the word black swan, which is really fooled by the rest of the title of his book, is fooled by randomness. What is inherent to complicated systems, and I would say fraud complicates things because it makes it opaque. They can't say, wow, we're defrauding you. That makes it inherently fragile. This is why I tell people, and I don't care where they get it, although you guys are an excellent choice, and I don't mean to, you know, blow your horn or anything, but this is why I tell people you need to have something that is out of the control of banks. And so back to the debt is money, that's a lie, and debt is an asset, another huge lie. We're going to find out both the truth. Guess what they're going to do to the Greek euros, which have a little Y imprinted on them? They're going to void those. Are those euros you got? The ones that are Greek euros? Because every country has their own euros. You know, there's an Italian euro. There's an Ireland euro, a German euro. Yeah, we're going to avoid those. Those are no good. That's like Confederate paper. That's what's going to happen. And so the story on the front page of the business section, EU gives Greece a Sunday deadline. Well, guess what we're getting down to? We're getting down to, if we cut Greece's debt, then Spain and Italy and France and Portugal and everybody else is going to need a cut. They can't do that. The bonds will be no good. They leverage these bonds up to the moon and then stack on the derivatives of a quadrillion, and you got leverage in the orders of magnitude unseen in human history. So they're going to play hardball and make Greece an example. That ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You can't get
blood out
of
the water.
Well,
what do you mean it's not going to work? I mean, I know that they're going to try. I know they're going to make an example out of Greece, or they're going to try to. Will they succeed in intimidating the other nations like Portugal, Spain, Ireland, Italy? Will they intimidate them? Say, well, you got to pay your debt, or you'll die.
Listen, this is fraud. This is what the Greeks figured out. And what's being misreported is, oh, they're a bunch of bums and they're socialists, which they're socialists I think 11% pay taxes and they do have big pensions and they retire when they're, I don't know, 53 or something like that. I don't know. I don't know exactly, but they retire early. Okay, that's all true. But of the $240 billion, according to the Guardian UK, less than 10% made it to the Greeks. If they got, say, North Carolina has a population of about 10 million, the legislature here went crazy when we were $2 or $3 billion in debt in the hole a few years ago. This is a country, $350, and I'm going to do it in dollars instead of euros, $350 billion in debt. If they want to dump $350 billion on a country with 11 million people, that houses over there would be $1 million a pop, and they'd be paying $30 for a soda. They didn't. Well, it went into the banks. This is according to the Guardian UK.
Yeah.
That's fraudulent debt. Hung that debt on the Greeks. Now, listen, there's a lot of dirty hands, and I'm not making. I don't believe in socialism. I think you gotta, you know, you ought to pay your bills, and when you run out of other people's money, this is what happens. They never had this problem if they didn't run out of money. But they got creamed as all the other countries got creamed. This is fraud. I had just had Carl Denninger on. He laid it out. This is fraudulent. And I brought up the article from the Guardian UK. It says, without question, they got played. You know, I mean, yes, are the Greeks dirty? Are their hands dirty? Yes, yes, they are.
Here's a question for you.
But not to the extent, this is orders of magnitude dirty.
We're going to take a break.
You can't get blood out of a rock. Go ahead.
We're going to take a break, Greg. We're here with Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. When we get back, we will get deeper into the coincidental problems that are showing up today in the markets and the airports in Washington, D.C. We'll talk a little more about all of this in a moment. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg has some of the finest interviews on the Internet. All right? You can visit his website, USAWatchdog.com, and he routinely interviews some of the best guests you can find on the Internet at this time. Let's start. We've got the Wall Street
Washington, D.C.'s had a power outage. We've had United Airlines, planes were out of the air for, well, they were at least having a problem. They weren't necessarily out of the air. They had a problem for at least an hour. Stock market is still closed down for most of the day. Yahoo's had a problem. Are we looking at just coincidences here, or is there a central cause for these several different computer problems?
Alfred, I don't know, and neither do they.
Yeah.
And if they do know, they're not going to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
And but here is the underlying bigger problem, and that's why I wanted to start with that huge problem. Anybody that is in this market, anybody that thinks that we have markets and not interventions, we have phony accounting at FASB, the Financial Accounting Standards Board, FASB in 2009. We do not have mark-to-market accounting. In other words, what is it worth today? If you have a house and the IRS says you owe us $100,000, you can't say, hey, here's a house. It's really only worth $50,000, but I want you to value this house as if it will be sold in the year 2045 when when the property goes up and Disney World is down the street or whatever. Can't do that. What is it worth today? They suspended all of that. Now, that helped the banks the most, but we still have phony accounting. We have a law passed in Congress that if you are systemically, this is a real law, if you are systemically important to the system in America, you can suspend all accounting. You don't have to have accounting. That's a real law.
That's pretty amazing.
We have the plunge protection team, and you don't know whether they were in there stopping this thing from turning into a 1,000-point route. And this idea of, oh, there's a fat finger, or there's a glitch, come on, stop. Stop the first grade, ridiculous. Here's what they're saying for hours. I was listening to this on my satellite radio. If I heard, I'm not worried, not worried, no worries, don't worry. I'm not worried, don't worry. Oh, don't worry, don't worry, oh, no worries. No, everything's fine. No worries. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Yeah, well, you know what? That makes me worry.
I understand.
And listen to this Greek thing. Now, forget about the stock market, because it's inherently fraudulent. It's inherently complicated with derivatives and fraud and opaque. That means it's inherently weak and fragile. So anybody that you got to get the big picture, and the big picture is the system is fraudulent. You have the old attorney general, you have the new attorney general, they have not made a single case on a big banker. They knew, there was widely reported that, for example, let's just talk about Bernie Madoff. That's a simple case. It pales in comparison to rigging LIBOR and rigging the Forex market, but let's just talk about Bernie Madoff. They paid $2.5 billion to avoid criminal prosecution. Why? Why do we let them do this?
So someone else will get caught for criminal prosecution, and they'll pay another $2.5 billion to the government. It becomes a money-making scheme for government. They just, you know, go ahead, break all the laws you want, and when we catch you, you're going to pay an enormous fine.
We have lawlessness in the system.
I understand.
Fragility in fraud. We have fragility in lawlessness. We have fragility in fakeness. Listen, anybody watching this, if they want to stay in the market for the long term, they're going to be creamed. They better be in a brokerage that does MF Global on them. And anybody, you look up MF Global, they were a primary dealer of treasuries. At the time, there were 22 brokerages, which is a license to print money, because they make a commission on every bond they sell. They were a primary dealer, and they went under. They went under. I remember that when Bear Stearns, I had Carl Denninger on, he says, you know, we always, you know, the math, we never hit the wall. We never hit the wall on math. Everybody front runs that. So, you know, something maybe two or three or six, he thinks they can do this thing for 7 years. I'm not sure. But he says, we will get there. We'll hit the wall on that. Same thing with the housing market. Same thing with Bear Stearns. You know, Bear Stearns, everybody went, oh, that was it. That's what Carl Denninger said. I remember that. I thought, wow, that's a big deal. And, you know, they put it off for 6 months. I don't know if they'll put this off for 6 months, but listen, because this has been going on for a while. This thing with the stock market being propped up and all the other, you know, things that could happen with China. China's been crashing for 3 weeks. They're down 30%. Greece has been a problem. They're not. They had to borrow. Listen, years ago, they had to borrow money to pay their debt. They were just insolvent. This is pretend.
They've been broke for 5 years.
I doubt
if they've made a payment. I doubt if Greece has made a real payment in 5 years. They make payments by borrowing money from someone else to pay existing debt, but they haven't been making significant
payments.
They were
paying fraudulent debt. Let's call it what it is. There is no way that Greece got $240 billion dropped on them. There is no way that did not happen. That country did not, 11 million people did not get $240 billion to spend as they want. They've been buying shipping lines. They've been buying oil fields. They'd be rich. They did not get that money. Let's make that perfectly clear. Are they a socialist country? Yes. Do a lot of them not pay taxes? Yes. Do a lot of them retire early? Yes. Are a lot of them on pensions? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, they have sin. Yes. But the money on there, don't even think for 1 minute it's being misreported. And the reason why it's been misreported because, you mean it's really banker fraud? Yep, sure is. Yep, there's a component in there of banker fraud, and it's the same component in the debt with Italy, and Spain, and Ireland, and Portugal, and France banks have problems. You know, you forgot the co-chairman of Deutsche Bank stepped down. They had contract till 2017. Oh, yeah, we want to quit. Some people say they were fired. They got $72 trillion in derivatives. They can't make this cut. They're not going to cut. They're going to use Greece. They're making a chance here. Here's a damned if you do, damned if they don't the scenario. If they cut the Greece for debt, immediately every single country wants a commensurate cut. You know, if you cut their debt by 20%, you got to do the same thing with Spain or 50 or whatever. Whatever it is they're wanting to be.
But if they don't cut the debt, They're caught between the rock and the hard place.
If the other countries want the same deal.
If they don't cut the debt, Greece is going to go belly up. They can't pay it. What are they going to do?
They can't. Well, that's the problem. So if they cut the debt, then they immediately have to cut the debt, and then the bonds, have to be cut. Then, sovereign debt. Oh, oops. You remember mortgage-backed securities? Everybody thought they were a great idea because, the houses, the real estate backed it up. Well, not when you have no money down loans. There's no equity there. You think that you pay off your house in 30 years or 15 years. You do not. As soon as you sign the dotted line, the promissory note, just like a Federal Reserve note. As soon as you sign that note, you paid for that house. Now, if you stop paying, they can take it away from you, but you bought that house. That's how they could securitize the debt. Okay?
But
the problem is that there was no equity in those, and if there was equity, people could take out a home equity line. And Carl Denninger said, hey, listen, this thing could have gone on for a few more years, the whole housing thing. But, people realized, Wall Street realized that they were never going to pay that off, and they front-run that trade. So the psychology. So it's confidence in psychology. Greg Mannarino started talking about, the whole thing is run on confidence. Michael Pinto talked about how, there's a bubble in central bank confidence that they can always fix something. And if you look at this theme from the most recent guests, the confidence in central banks can fix it. Well, we're going to find out that's not going to work out. And also the confidence in the markets. Well, you saw what happened today. That's not going to help confidence in the markets. And the psychology. People will start front running. People will leave before the math hits the wall. And this is a process. But, other people are like, gold's going down and silver, went up a little bit today. But, they think they're going to get some deal. And Melanie and I talked about that. Well, commissions just went up. The price went down, but no coin dealer worth their salt is going to sell you a coin at, $3 or $2.75, what their wholesale cost is. It ain't going to happen. And if anybody is selling you, a coin for a nickel over a wholesale spot, that's the spot plus their, $2.75. Is that right, Melody?
Right.
Correct. So if anybody's going to sell you at some ridiculous, I would be worried about being an unsecured creditor to somebody because they're not getting a real commission. And the problem is, a few years ago I was trading oil stocks, and this is a weird thing that happened. I sold out everything. I had Anadarko. I had all kinds of stuff. That's how I started my business. I had all kinds of oil stocks, and I rode it from I-40 all the way up to 127. But something weird happened. It went up. It's oil per barrel. Topped out at 147, but at 127, the stocks stopped going up. So you think, wow, there's $20 there that, you know, didn't keep. And on the way down, it went back down to $35 a barrel. But, you know, at $40, $45, stocks, the oil stocks stopped going down. And, you know, at some point, the price of gold and silver is going to stop going down, but you're not going to get a good old boy low commission deal at that point, because the supplies are going to be gone. They're going to start charging big commission prices. Back in 2009, when silver went down to, what, $9 or $10, now the commission was $5 or $6 a coin. You still had to pay 50 or 60% commission on the coin. So you didn't get a deal. And then you had a hard time buying monster boxes. I bet you right now trying to buy a monster box is probably going to be pretty tough. Well, they suspended sales at the mint. Wow, one day before this happened. Is that a coincidence? I don't know.
Well, they're available, but they're about 3 weeks out for delivery. Wholesale premiums have gone up, so it put pressure on some of the other silver products. Canadian maple leaves, their premiums, wholesale premiums, jumped 40 cents. You know, round premiums have jumped. They're available sooner than the 3 weeks out of the Silver Eagles. And, you know, Greg, I tried to explain to folks today, because I told them, you know, the same thing that we discussed about, hey, you know, you wait for the special deals. There's very little product out there. And the next thing you know, the premiums are there, and you end up paying the same thing.
Or
And you know what they say?
Or you might not even be able to get it.
No, do you know what they say? They say, well, I'll wait until it's lower. It's like, okay.
But the commission, no coin dealer is going to sell their, and I'm not you, but this is what you told me. Then nobody's going to get. Remember a few months ago that you said, what's your commission on coins? I asked you, and you said, I don't know, $2.50 a coin. I was like, wow, what a deal. You're kidding me. $2.50 over spot. Holy cow, that's a fantastic deal. And it isn't that now. The price has gone down, but guess what? The commissions are higher. And now you're going to run the risk of that you're not going to, because it's going to come down to people are treating this like a trade. It's not a trade. People stop with the thinking this is a trade. Stop. This is a wealth preservation. This is a survival play. You're going to end up, and the music's going to stop, and there will be no chairs for you, and they're not going to make any new ones.
So you have to act like you have a
They're going to recall it, and that's what I mean about currency. People are like, oh, well, maybe I can put my dollars. Those are notes. Those are Federal Reserve notes. I mean, if you want to hold currency, hold half dollars. Those aren't notes. Hold Sacagawea dollars, Susan B. Anthony dollars. Those aren't notes if you want to just hold dollars. But those notes can be defaulted on. Those notes can be recalled. Look at the Greek euros. They're threatening to cancel those out.
Even if you're holding them, I mean, it's the equivalent of having.
Yes, they're going to say they're no good. They're going to say, "Boop, you, no soup for you, no Greek euros for you. You're done." I'm telling you, this is going to get ugly. And they have it on the front page of USA Today. EU gives Greece Sunday deadline. Well, there you go. This is a risk for them, but it's less of a risk than giving everybody a debt cut, because then immediately the bonds are no good. Then immediately everybody sell. Then immediately bond the interest rate spike and the party over. It's going to be that anyway, but they're taking that. We'll see if we can make an example out of it and hold this thing off. And then they might mysteriously make a payment to the IMF or to the EU, or somebody may blink and make a payment and, you know, stretch it out. Oh, in good faith, we'll make this payment just to stretch. But listen, they can't pay. They're insolvent. Mm-hmm. Italy, insolvent. Spain, insolvent. Ireland, insolvent. Portugal, insolvent. They can't do this long term. They can't do it.
What about the United States?
I was going to say, the U.S.
What about the United States?
We are still printing money. We can still print money, but then there's going to come a time when people are going to say, that's no good. We can't do that. Sorry. You know, what's going to happen when everybody gets really freaked out and starts liquidating their bonds, John Williams says, there's more than 16 trillion held outside the U.S.
Yep.
What's the Fed going to do? They're going to be stuck with either you liquidate these bonds, okay, that we've got to print some money, or. And that's where the money printing. See, the problem, reason why we haven't had the inflation is because we printed bonds. Forget the money. We printed bonds. We locked it up in bonds. When that liquidates, when that starts to try to liquidate, the Fed is going to have to either A, print money, or B, default in the bonds. Woo, boy. What a carnival of inflation and deflation. I think we're going to get both at the same time. I've said this for years. We're going to get both at the same time. But please
inflation
remember.
And deflation at the same time.
Yes, because they're going to let some people default, and they're going to bail out their buddies at the same time, and it's so big. I mean, when you talk about the derivative exposure that the bank, let's just use the official number. Some people say it's twice, 2.5 times the, you know, the quadrillion that's out there. This is the official BIS number. It's a big number. It's 1,000 trillion. And that's, and then take a look at the leverage on top of these quote unquote bonds assets, and they leverage them up, what, 30, 40, 50 times they've leveraged these things up depending on, and then they get lopped on top of that, you know, this fake demand for, you know, interest for their bonds, and this fake demand with derivatives, and oh my gosh, it's going to be a carnival of inflation and deflation, default and money printing. Take your pick. There's not going to be one or the other. This, and you know, and how in the world is this going to play out? I do not know. Jim Rogers on USA Watchdog told me this has never happened in human history. This is a guy worth $300 million at least who's traded a lot of commodities.
Well, let's talk more about derivatives when we return. We'll take a break for our last set of commercials. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. I have a question for Greg. Yeah, if I heard correctly, you say there's a $250 billion worth of derivatives floating around, maybe more than that. It, what makes me wonder is this. We've got a problem with income inequality. The super rich, the top 1%, own a disproportionate amount of wealth in this country. But how much of the wealth that's held by the top 0.1%, how much of that wealth is intangible, real estate, railroads, I don't know, oil fields, something real, and how much of their super wealth is tied up in these fictional debt instruments, perhaps like derivatives or stocks or bonds. And what's going to happen to the super rich when this whole thing goes south?
Is this
income inequality an illusion based on the fiction of these pieces of paper, or are they really wealthy in terms of land and buildings and tangible assets?
Number one, I don't believe in income inequality. I don't believe in it. I think it's a lie. Okay? What is we have inequality on is legal inequality. We have criminal inequality. You rob a 7-Eleven store of, you know, $51 and you are a felon that'll get 7 years in jail. If you're, you know, a big bank and you rigged the LIBOR market into terms of trillions of dollars, you get to pay a, shareholders get to pay a fine. So we have, we do not have income inequality. The real inequality is the legal inequality. It, listen, if you believe in capitalism, then you should believe in bankruptcy. Have you heard of a big bank going bankrupt since Lehman Brothers? Yeah, that's right. No,
they're too big. They're too big to fail. They can't.
That means they're too big to exist, and that is legal inequality. And when people fail, when banks fail, when you go to bankruptcy, you lose your assets and because you're incompetent or criminal or both. And then your assets go to somebody else who is not incompetent and not criminal or both. And what we have is a very unlevel playing field. I mean, Warren Buffett would have been creamed if we would have let capitalism play out. Do you realize many of the companies in Berkshire Hathaway, even Charlie Munger came out to get over it, you know, his number two weasel there. You know, I mean, GE company, these are all companies that Buffett invested in that got bailouts. General Electric, Goldman Sachs, American Express, Wells Fargo. And the, there's many companies that would have been creamed. You know, listen, General Electric stock should have gone to onto a dollar a share, and Warren Buffett should have lost his ass. But nope, he played the bailout game. Oh, he's brilliant. No, he's not. He's connected. That's the problem with this. And then he's talking about, oh, well, my secretary pays more taxes than I do. That's it. But stop. Well, I got a better idea. And, you know, instead of, you know, you raising an extra $40, $50 billion in a stupid tax scheme, hey, how about we stop the multi-trillion dollar bailouts for you and your buddies? Oh, that'd be more, that'd be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What does Warren Buffett own? Hey, Warren Buffett made a commodity play. What? He made a commodity play? Yep, he bought a railroad. He bought all the railroad. He bought the whole damn thing. And what is the railroad, you know, what is the railroad used for? Oh, yeah, it's made for, used for, instead of building a pipeline, you know, used for transporting oil, grain, coal, bauxite, you know, you name it. It transports things, all kinds of stuff, railroad. That's commodity play. He owns the lines, he owns the tracks, he owns the cars, he owns the cash flow of moving goods and services around by rail. He owns it all. I'm sure he has stocks. I'm sure he plays the paper market. But listen, what did George Soros say? He said this, you know, a few years ago, and I think he reiterated it, that gold will be the biggest bubble. Of course, because we're going to go back to the bonds. Let's go back to the bonds, because the bond market is the granddaddy of all markets. It dwarfs all markets combined, the bond market, the debt market. Okay? We've been told that debt is money and debt is an asset. And we're going to find out neither is true. The bonds. When the bonds have to have these big write-downs, as they surely will because they cannot pay, what they want to guarantee from Greece and everybody else is an income stream to say, look, the income stream's good, the bonds are good. Yes, but the bonds are the assets that they are loaning against. The bonds are the assets, are the basis of the derivatives that they're trying to hold interest rates down, which most of which are interest rates. If the bonds go, the whole system is kapooey, kapowy, boom. There, the collateral's no good. This is what happened when the debt crisis. You know, the collateral's no good. So the collateral, if the collateral's no good, then what happens? Well, let's see. There'll be a mad dash for collateral. Gold, silver, diamonds, art, anything real. Functioning businesses, a railroad. Collateral. The bonds are no good. The collateral is no good. What did Germany do in you know, people talk about the hyperinflation of the mark, right? But people don't realize What did they do to fix that? You know what they came out with after the mark? The Renton mark. Oh, it was based on rents. Oh, you mean the banks took control of the assets and then they rented it back out. Oh, the Renton mark. Are you getting the picture here?
No, I'm not.
They're going to look for collateral. The bonds are not collateral. They're going to look for real collateral. They're going to look for gold.
Yeah, I get that. All right, so what they're doing is they're saying we're going to buy these properties and the rent is real. And
they're going to foreclose on the properties. They're going to be in a man. They're going to buy them. They're going to, oh, you quit paying your thing. Yeah, we'll take that property. You understand that? So if the collateral, the bonds, are no good, then there's going to be a mad dash for collateral. People are looking at, oh, what's the dollar price of gold? Forget about that. It's collateral. What is the collateral? Where? Who has dominion over your collateral? Oh, the stocks? Is your brokerage open? Oh, then no, do you have that collateral? Oh, you mean your brokerage? Oh, they need a bailout. CIPIC has, what, $2 billion? CIPIC, the Securities Investment Protection Corporation? They don't have, that's fake insurance. In a calamity, it's fake insurance. If your brokerage, if your broker runs off with your money with the secretary, yes, you may get some money back. But it is not insurance, just like the FDIC.
But if he runs
really
off with your
insurance.
Money with a congressman, you won't get the money back. Is that true?
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, I'm just joking, but what I'm getting to is insofar as the Congress essentially conspires with these people to allow them to rob you, if he runs off with the secretary, you might get some money back. If he essentially runs off with the Congress, probably not.
Well, and who knows what's in the secret trade deal?
Fraud.
Well, and who knows what's in the secret trade deal? I suspect a lot more than trade.
But
it's a secret, so I don't know. And if anybody talks about it, they could be thrown in jail. Which I think is a huge a problem, which is another, you know, opaqueness of the market. And that's that. You got to hold on to what's real. People ought to get the title to their cars. They ought to get the title to their homes. They ought to get new tires, new batteries. They ought to get food. They ought to get everything they think they're going to need. Everything. And if you have some money left over, sure, yes, you need some gold and silver. Yes, you need that. But I tell people, some people say, well, I've got $10,000. Should I buy gold and silver? No! Go buy it. Do you have your car paid for it? No. Do you have new tires in your car? Well, not really. Do you have a new battery? No. Oh, well, no. Do you have food? Well, I don't really have any food. Well, then, no! Don't do that. For some people, they should. You know, people, I have a producer friend of mine. She works for CBS News. And she's a smart lady, and she has quit talking to me. The last time we talked, she said, you know, I'm just working for it, because she doesn't want to hear, you know, it's kind of like having a down, you know, stock market, and people don't want to open their statement, okay, as if that's going to make it go away. And she is a smart person. She is a top producer for one of the networks. And I said, stop for a minute. You just wait for retirement. Yes. I said, do you think with this crushing debt, and that the America's going to be broke. You get to happily live happily ever after with your retirement and the company and the country that you live in is completely dead broke. You think you get your retirement? You must be dreaming. People are like, oh, my retirement. Well, are you a resident in America? This is why I say when you had this $18 trillion account, well, he froze it. But 18 to 20, I don't know what it is now, $18.5 trillion. This is the cash deficit. Not what we're on the hook for, according to Lawrence Kotlikoff, professor of Boston University. We're on the hook for, what, $200-plus trillion. We're accruing it at $5 to $6 trillion a year. And I mean, I asked somebody, do you think you owe part of this $18 trillion? And they looked at me and said, no. I said, yeah, you do. People think they get their retirement. Oh, I get my retirement. Oh, I'm going to get back. Oh, really? You think? So in order for your scenario to work, then we got to let the USS Ronald Reagan float up and down like a cork in the Arabian Sea, out of ammunition, out of fuel. Is that what you think we're going to do? Are you getting this?
Well, I saw a report in the newspaper today that Obama is planning to cut the size of the military by 40,000 men and women.
It was the army.
Yeah. More evidence that they're just broke. The government's broke. Right now, they're stressed to where they can't easily come up with the money to sustain the programs they already have. You can ask, what does that mean to government pensions, Social Security, welfare, food stamps?
This is the problem with illegal immigration. Somebody's making a decision with these sanctuary cities, which are sanctuary voting blocks. And then they're making a decision to have all these people. Who in the hell is paying for this?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be a racist or a xenophobic person, but hey, whoa, wait a minute. I mean, I'm not going to do what Trump did to call them all rapists. That's not true. But listen, there's a big criminal element that's coming across the border. And listen, every single person that comes across the border illegally is asking for a handout. Who is paying for that? It's going to crash the system. And that's what we have this perfect storm of crashing the system and all these markets. I mean, this is this thing today, you know, will it come back 300 points tomorrow? I don't know. But let me tell you something. The warning shot is, wow, is the system shaky? Is this ever shaky? This does not look like we're on our way to higher highs and, you know, new frontiers and, you know, and everything else. This is not that. We're getting to the end of this debt-based system. This is what Greg Mannarino says, and he's nailed this. And we're going to get to the end of this system where we can't print any more money, we can't borrow any more money, and then what money we say is an asset, these bonds, and let's come back to the central key point. The bond market is huge. Forget the stock market. The bond market is massive. That's why they can't have cut. For Greece, everybody else will want to cut, and the bonds will go sour, and this is hundreds of trillions of dollars. And when that is correct, and listen, if it was just Greece and everybody else was fat and happy and the bonds were good and they were paying and everybody had a good income stream and, you know, we were coming up with new innovation and stuff like we did in the 90s, not a problem. We don't have that now. That's not what we have. And it's the collateral. The bonds are the collateral. The central question is when the collateral is no good. What happens to everything else? And you better be holding on to something other than a claim ticket at Johnny's Laundry, because you will get fleeced. That's what's coming, and you can see it happening.
And the defense against that is to hold something tangible rather than hold a paper promise to pay. The promise
that includes
promises. You can't keep all of the promises to pay the paper. Debt instruments are going to turn out to be substantially worthless. If you want to avoid losing your assets, hang on to something tangible.
And people say, what should I buy? Everything? Dog shampoo, tires, batteries, food, rice, water, oil filters, gold, silver, everything. What will you need in the future? I don't know. Laundry detergent, coffee. You need to buy everything. And I know a lot of people won't because, you know, prepping is work. And I don't know if this will turn into Mad Max. I have no idea. Or you'll have some time where you may not be able to get food on the shelves. I mean, when you walk into a grocery store, you know, what you see is that's their inventory. How long do you think that lasts in a panic?
An hour? 3 days supply. But if they get a real panic, it can disappear in a matter of hours.
Yep.
If the credit cards work.
Yeah, if the credit cards work, and if they don't, they can still disappear if people want to come in and take the law into their own hands.
People are going
to
come in with a
checkout counter. You just have to bust a hole in the window and walk out with whatever you got. Greg, we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the program. This is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Greg Hunter, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Money, 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 must be funny.